You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, it is 10 p.m. As we get into our mental health chat, we're talking about anxiety. And so today we're talking about the connection between anxiety and sleep issues. And so we're going to be joined in just a moment by Pauline Coughlin from the Vista Clinic. Now, you know, you're exhausted, but as soon as your head hits the pillow, your brain decides it's time for a highlight reel of everything you've ever worried about, right? Does that sound familiar to you? Anxiety and sleep issues go hand in hand, and that creates this vicious cycle where one just worsens the other. But why does anxiety interfere with sleep so much? And how can someone actually break this exhausting cycle to finally get the rest that they need? Pauline, help us.
Good morning, Bongi.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
And all our listeners as well. Thanks. It's always such a pleasure, Bongi. Thanks for inviting me once again.
Right.
And yes, what an interesting thing to speak about, hey? That's sleep and anxiety.
Yeah.
And also a very intense one, I should say, because if you think about it, sleep is so important in the first instance. And when we struggle with anxiety, it makes it even more daunting. So let's see, you know, how does anxiety disrupt the balance of sleep, of natural sleep, and what happens when that, you know, when we experience anxiety and sleep disorder or the body's natural sleep cycle.
Right.
So, firstly, anxiety can disrupt the balance of hormones and brain activity that regulate sleep, and it happens in a few ways, Bongi.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, there may be an increase in cortisol levels, and we know by now that cortisol is a stress hormone, and increased levels of cortisol, especially at night, makes it difficult to relax and fall asleep. So what also happens with that is that anxiety activates the fight or flight response. So there's increased heart rate, muscle tension, there's more brain activity. And so the body never gets the message fully from the brain that it is now time to sleep.
Right.
So we find that individuals who struggle with anxiety, often they experience racing thoughts, worry or overthinking, and you know, the mind doesn't slow down, it's especially at bedtime. And so this can delay the onset of sleep, or it can also lead to disrupted sleep. So you'll find that someone can never have a deep sleep. They always have light sleep. They get up quite often during the night to go to the bathroom, for example.
Yeah.
And then it results in also what we call insomnia and sleep maintenance issues. So if you have a challenge falling asleep, sometimes people eventually fall asleep, but then we find that they wake up during the night quite often.
Yeah.
And if they do, then they find it difficult to get to sleep again. So anxiety makes the brain more sensitive to stimuli as well. So any noises, temperature,
mm-hmm.
or even bodily sensations makes it harder to stay asleep. And then another interesting one as well, Bongi, is that chronic anxiety can interfere with the body's internal clock.
Okay.
We call it the circadian rhythm.
Okay.
And this also leads to irregular sleep-wake cycles where once someone has fallen asleep, they get up to go or, you know, to the bathroom, or you find that they just start thinking these racing thoughts. So it interferes with the normal sleep cycle of the body as well.
Shucks. And then as that happens, I suppose what then would happen is during the day, that's when it starts trying to seep into you at in the middle of the day, in the middle of a meeting, or you're busy at work and you feel like you need to sleep right now.
Absolutely. There comes a point in time where it's almost you cannot make it anymore, where you feel your eyelids become so heavy. And this is actually when your body has now just, you know, given up. It cannot feel, and that is when we find people becoming very sleepy and all the other symptoms that goes with that.
Man, that sounds intense. Now, what are some techniques to calm a restless mind before bedtime?
Bongi, there's quite a few. I'm going to share some of them with you.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, it's important to practice what we call mindfulness and relaxation techniques.
Okay.
When we speak about this, deep breathing is important. I'll actually share one with yourself and the listeners,
uh-huh.
where you try the 4-7-8 breathing technique. And what this entails is that you inhale for 4 seconds, mm-hmm. you hold for 7 seconds, and then you exhale for 8 seconds before you take the next breath.
Okay.
And if we do this, we find that it slows the heart rate and it also calms the nervous system. So just in your physical body, it's so important to make sure that, for example, your breathing is a very important one. I think we spoke about it earlier as well. Yeah. Then progressive muscle relaxation, we can also practice where you tense the muscles in your body, and you can do it in groups if you like to. And as you relax your body, you focus on how that feels for you, releasing all this tension as you breathe in and breathe out, tense, and then relax all the muscles in your body as well. Then there's also cognitive techniques that people can engage in, things like journaling, creating a gratitude list for yourself, or just visualization where you imagine a peaceful and calm, serene environment with a focus on different pleasant sounds, for example, or colors. And then it's also very important to follow a sleep-friendly night routine. Now, what does this mean? It means the following. Firstly, it's to limit screen time.
Okay.
To avoid blue light from phones, from tablets or TVs, at least an hour before bedtime.
Right.
I always like to ask people, is this possible to disengage from electronics an hour before bed? I'm not always so sure. I know it's a challenge for many people, but it is very useful when we do struggle with sleep disruption because of anxiety. And then it's important to engage. One can also engage with something called white noise, where you have nature sounds like a fan, rain sounds, or calming music to soothe the mind. And keep your lights low in the evening to signal to your brain that it's time to wind down. Mm-hmm. And then it's also advised that we use no caffeine or heavy meals late at night and before bedtime, as this also serves as stimulants to the brain.
Right.
And then also to keep a consistent sleep schedule. This means that if you sleep at 10 at night, to try to stick to sleeping at 10 at night. If you get up at 6 in the morning, try to stick to get up at 6 in the morning. So a healthy sleep routine is also very useful when it comes to a restless mind, helping just to calm down. Reading a book is also a good one to do, although we advise also that we use light-hearted books to keep racing thoughts at bay.
Okay.
For physical relaxation, Bongi, you can take a warm bath or a shower. Sometimes light stretching is also advised, and then aromatherapy with lavender or chamomile, which can promote relaxation, is also often used by many people.
Beautiful. Now, when we're talking about these techniques, would you say some of them would also be helpful if someone's having racing thoughts, like during the day, not necessarily just for when you're trying to calm your mind for sleep time?
Absolutely. Some of them you'll find can help. Although if your body is so exhausted eventually and you just have to lay down, then you know it's best to do what your body needs. But yes, some of these techniques can help during the day as well. Okay. Like reading a light-hearted book, for example.
Yeah.
Or making sure that you don't take caffeine after lunchtime. If you know that you're someone who struggles with anxiety, just to make sure that you know your body doesn't keep all that energy within, and in the evening you struggle to get rid of that. Yes.
Now, can lack of sleep make anxiety worse? I would assume it does.
Yes, it definitely does. A lack of sleep can significantly worsen anxiety because poor sleep increases anxiety, and anxiety makes it more difficult to sleep. So there's a few ways also in how this happens. Firstly, once again, it increases stress hormones. We've now learned that when cortisol levels rise with sleep deprivation, it makes someone more prone to stress and worry. A lack of sleep also reduces emotional regulation. So there are parts of the brain which processes fear, and this becomes overactive. And so we find that this makes the symptoms of anxiety more intense. Mm-hmm. It can also impair problem-solving and coping skills. Suddenly someone may find or think that, you know, I'm not able to cope with my life in general, or maybe before they were able to, and suddenly they feel that they're not able to think about how to solve their own problems.
Yeah.
It can also cause fatigue, brain fog, confusion. And then also, like I've mentioned before, a lack of sleep heightens the fight or flight response, and then we become more sensitive to stresses, and especially if the nervous system is tired, then this intensifies the symptoms of anxiety, but it also can worsen your sleep pattern, make it worse if it is already bad.
Sure. And then what about foods? Are there specific foods or habits that would promote better sleep for anxious people?
Yes, Bongi, there are certain foods and habits that can help, and I'll share a few with you.
Okay.
So, foods rich in magnesium, for example. So magnesium helps relax the muscles and the nervous system. So I went to have a look at some of the foods like almonds, pumpkin seeds, spinach, bananas, dark chocolate. Those are all foods rich in magnesium. And then also foods to help reduce sleep hormones, your serotonin and melatonin foods like turkey, chicken, eggs, dairy, nuts, and seeds.
Uh-huh.
And then complex carbohydrates, because those stabilizes the blood sugar levels.
Okay.
And it also boosts the hormone serotonin. So foods like oatmeal, brown rice, whole wheat bread, herbal teas like chamomile. Mm-hmm. I know many people know about chamomile. It can be a good calming tea to have just before bedtime.
Yeah.
Fatty fish, which is high in omega-3s, like your sardines and tuna. And then you'll probably have heard, Bongi, that people sometimes speak about having warm milk. This is definitely a good one as well, warm milk, because it's also a dairy product, or something called golden milk, which is a turmeric latte. It also has a very soothing effect. An important thing is to limit caffeine and other stimulants like alcohol. Eat an early dinner. Stay hydrated. This is very important. So drinking water is important, but try not to have water too late at night, because this will avoid frequent waking during the night if you don't have it too late.
Yes.
It's also important just to make sure that your environment is up to standard.
Hello, Perlene. Perlene, are you still there? All right, it looks like we might be disconnected. Let's see if we
can. Cooling something which often helps.
All right, Perlene, we lost you for the last maybe 15 seconds or so. Would you please just repeat the last statement that you just made?
No problem. I shared with you that it's important to keep a cool, dark, quiet sleep environment.
Okay.
Also with comfortable breathing. Mm-hmm. And then exercising regularly also helps. It's a good habit to help get the body into action. Yes.
Right. All right. And so when should someone seek medical help for chronic sleep disturbances linked to anxiety?
Thank you, Bongi. That's such an important question, because oftentimes people will get up and we don't realize that we haven't had a good sleep. And oftentimes we find people sleep for many hours, but the quality of sleep is not such a good one.
Yeah.
And this is important. It's important that we know our bodies in other ways. So, in other words, so that you know what your body needs. So, for example, if sleep issues persist for more than a month, so sometimes occasional sleep problems are normal, but chronic insomnia can have long-term health effects. So then we know we need to seek help. Also, sleep disturbances significantly impact our daily lives. So if you feel fatigued during the day, you're very irritable, you find it difficult to concentrate, when you have poor performance at school or at work, those are all signs that we need to seek professional help when it comes to sleep.
Right.
And also if anxiety symptoms are becoming worse, especially because we're not sleeping, then it's also a good time to seek help. If there are physical symptoms, like consistent headaches, digestive issues, or just increased heart rate, and this is consistently so, then we know we need to look for help as well. A very important one as well, Bongi, that I'd like to mention is that if there's dependence on sleep aids, if that starts to develop, so sometimes people make use of over-the-counter medication or prescription sleep aids, then we know that we also need to, especially regularly, if we use it regularly, then we need to seek help as well. Sometimes you also find there are other signs of depression or other mental health concerns, like when someone feels very hopeless, there's lack of motivation, or suicidal thoughts. This also sometimes accompanies sleep disturbances. Then we know it is time to look for professional or medical help.
And would this help be given? Like, would it be directed towards fixing the sleep disturbances or fixing the anxiety? What exactly would we be dealing with in this situation?
usually problems, they go hand in hand with each other. So oftentimes we find that someone needs assistance. So for example, first go to your GP. This is usually a very good starting point.
Okay.
And your GP will listen to what you're saying and then further refer to, for example, a psychiatrist. And, you know, when sleep is a problem, then that will also be dealt with on a physical level. And then also when you see a psychiatrist, you know, and a psychologist, that would then also be addressed there. For example, what causes the racing thoughts? Mm-hmm. Because that's where everything starts.
Yeah.
And then we can deal with all the other symptoms of anxiety.
Got you. All right. Well, thank you so much, Pauline, once again, for yet another insightful conversation. I think that this is very helpful. And even for those who might not necessarily have anxiety, but are having issues with, you know, sleep disturbances, they're not sleeping well or not sleeping enough, I think that this is going to be very helpful. And I definitely will have to start implementing some of these, like that one about the no digital, no devices an hour before that one.
Yes.
That's a yes. Big one for a lot.
I know, but that one is always a challenge for many people.
Oh, my goodness. Definitely food for thought. Thank you so much, Pauline. And I look forward to our next chat.
Big pleasure, Blongi. Enjoy your day. Thank you.
You too.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.